KFSR presents First Ladies Focus, the personal stories behind people who love Fresno State. Featuring Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro, and KFSR Program Director, Julie Logan, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Julie Logan, along with my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Good morning, Mrs. Castro.
Good morning, Julie.
We're excited to have another very special guest with us today, and as always, I'll let you make the introductions.
Thank you. Well, I'm very excited that this guest agreed to be here. He's one of my favorite people here on Fresno State's campus. One of the first people that President Castro and I got to know on a personal level, because you'll hear a little bit later that he spent a whole day with us in the very beginning. His name is Eddie Hughes. He's the senior editor-writer for the Office of University Communications. Thank you for being here this morning, Eddie.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I was telling Julie before we started the interview that there are times when you and I see each other on campus and we just stop and catch up and it goes well over half an hour. So I'm going to try and be disciplined and really try to share as much of your personal story as possible with our listeners, because I think that you are a great example of someone who really has a passion for Fresno State. You love the campus. You're an alum. And then I love the fact that you met your wife here and how involved your family is with the campus, and that you have come back here and you're just doing a great job with writing and sharing how great Fresno State is with the community.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I love to do is, you know, share my passion about Fresno State with others. And hopefully some of that will catch on with the community and we can grow that passion more and more.
Yes. You're like a cheerleader for the campus. And, you know, I have a fondness for cheerleaders for the campus. Right, Julie?
Absolutely.
So you were born and raised in Fresno, and you said that it was just a couple miles from the Fresno State campus.
Yeah, I grew up just down the street on the Cedar and Herndon area.
Wow.
I went to Hoover High School, so I always like to say, you know, I'm one of the few people who their college campus was probably a little bit closer to their house than my high school campus was.
Than your high school, that's
great.
Hey,
right here for Hoover, I'm a Hoover.
There you go.
And the high fives are going around. So, and I love that you put that you're the definition of bulldog born and bulldog bred. So that's a great motto, and I keep meeting more and more people that identify with that. It says that you grew up in a family full of red waivers and that your dad was actually a member of the foundation board for several years. Tell us about your family's connection to the campus.
Yeah, so my dad was a Bulldog Foundation volunteer and a donor himself for over 20 years. And the way the Bulldog Foundation started was such a grassroots effort between local people in the community really rallying around the university and seeing the value that athletics had for the university as far as, you know, getting people interested in making Fresno State what it is today. And and he was one of those early adopters who was passionate about it. He didn't go to Fresno State as a student, but he saw what Fresno State meant to the Valley and to Fresno.
Oh, that's great.
As a whole. And he always wanted to, you know, do what he could to make sure he left Fresno a better place than it was when he got here.
Oh,
so, and, you know, we didn't have a ton of money growing up, but he always, you know, made sure he could donate what he could to Fresno State. And so the Bulldog Foundation was kind of his way of getting involved. From there, he got my uncle involved. And growing up, I still remember in elementary school, when Fresno State basketball played their games downtown at Celland Arena, my dad and I, and my mom, my dad and I would hop in the car. We'd go over to my grandma's house to pick her up for the games.
Big caravan. Huh?
Yeah. Even when she was in a wheelchair, she was still never missing a basketball game.
Oh, I love that.
That was her thing. So, you know, our whole family would be out there, extended family.
What did your dad do for a living?
My dad, he worked at the IRS. He kind of climbed the ladder there through a few different positions, but he was at the IRS for over 20 years as well.
Nice.
Well, that's something we have in common. My mother worked at the IRS, and I worked at the IRS before I went to college, too. And a lot of our students, it's a great place for them to work evening and swing shifts and work their classes around in the day. So that's wonderful. And how about your mom? Tell me about your mom. Did she share the passion for attending all these different sports events with you guys?
Yeah, I mean, she's still, you know, she'll call me and talk about a game or something. Even though she wasn't as fanatical as we were about it, she still liked to, you know, show interest and kind of join in that with us. But even to this day, she still goes to all the football games with me, sits right next to me.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
And she's probably just loving hanging out with little Madison, your three-year-old.
Definitely. She watches her several times a week. And
that's the best.
Has a great relationship with her through that. So, yeah.
So I see that you're also a Dodger fan, mm-hmm. like President Castro. Did you guys get together at your house and watch games, or how did that play in? Or do you have to seek out places where you can safely watch Dodger games?
No, honestly,
sounds like that's something that happens at the university house.
Maybe we should look into getting kind of like a Dodger support group on campus, because I don't think there's many Dodgers fans.
Oh, but. You know, I think Joe would really appreciate that.
Underground movement.
Yeah. So let's talk about the time when you were here as a student. You say that Fresno State was the only school you considered. You were focused on it. You wanted to be a Bulldog. And I love that, because we're meeting more and more students who are saying, this is not only my first choice, this is my only choice. I saw myself as a Bulldog before I got the acceptance letter. And it sounded like that's how you felt.
Yeah, definitely. And now that you mention that, I was just working on a story the other day and talking to someone on campus who said, out of all the first time freshmen that we survey here, 90% of them said Fresno State was their first choice. And I was definitely among that group of people. I remember when I was about to graduate high school, you know, my dad knew that a lot of the reason Fresno State was, you know, a lot of the reason I was Bulldog born, Bulldog bred was because of him and the, you know, the excitement around Fresno State as I was growing up. But he still made sure to pull me aside and say, hey, make sure this is an academic decision for you. Don't go to Fresno State just because you love the football team. you know, if you have a chance to go to the Stanfords or UCLAs of the world, look into that. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of cut him off mid-sentence. And I said, Dad, I'm going to Fresno State. And I know he was happy to hear that my heart was in the right spot when I was making that decision. And it wasn't just, you know, a fandom decision.
Right.
It was because this was my home, and I took on that same local mentality he had of wanting to make this a better place by the time I leave.
So. And what was your major when you started here?
Right away, I was mass communication and journalism. Always had an interest in writing. So I came in, signed up for that major, and shortly thereafter got involved with the Collegian student newspaper here on campus. And my dad passed away my sophomore year here at Fresno State.
So that
was kind of a tough time. But, you know, looking back, I know that he'd be proud of all the different things I did.
Definitely.
Absolutely.
So.
Absolutely.
And you became the editor-in-chief of the Collegian while you were here before you graduated in 2005. It says that you earned the Outstanding Print Journalism Graduate Award from the Department of Mass Communication and Journalism. Was that for your work as a whole, or was it a specific piece that you wrote that you received that for?
It was for kind of the full body of work at the Collegian. You know, I was editor-in-chief and a few stints as sports editor during that time. And I think one of the professors at our graduation said perhaps the most prolific writer in Collegian history, which was something that always stuck with me, you know, just to know, wow, maybe did I write more articles for the Collegian than anyone else? So I don't know if that's true or not, but that was something that I always got a good laugh out of.
Well, it's a good example of if you do something you love, it doesn't seem like work. And when I asked you, how far back does your passion for sports and writing go? I would love for you to share the story about your very first publications.
Yeah, it's a funny story and something my family still brings up a lot with, you know, what I do now for a career. But I'm not sure how old I was, definitely elementary school age. And I can remember, you know, sitting at my grandfather's house. It was kind of my tradition to watch the Major League All-Star game with him every year.
Oh.
And so they had an old typewriter there. I pulled it out and started writing about the game as soon as it was over. And, you know, from there, I wrote a few other sports stories from, I don't remember what the topics were, but just other things in sports that were going on.
And you said you'd read the paper every day.
Yeah, I read the Fresno Bee every morning and read the Sporting News and Sports Illustrated, some of those big magazines, and kind of got a sense for the style of the journalistic style and flow.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and obviously I'm sure the writing wasn't very good back then, but I would write my stories out, put my byline on it by Eddie Hughes.
Oh, I love love that.
Then I was horrible at art, but I would get like a cover sheet and draw a picture on there and with a title for the magazine and staple it all together and sell it to my family for 25 or 50 cents.
Oh my gosh.
An entrepreneur. I like that he didn't just give it away. He sold it. He knew this is valuable.
I put a lot of time in, so they had to pay the price for that.
That is adorable.
I love that.
Does your mom still have any of that?
I'll have to check on that. If she did, I'd like to see that myself.
Those are the kind of things moms keep. And what type of response would your family get when you would give them their issue?
They all, you know, just encouraged me and thought it was great. And, you know, they'd read the whole thing and save it. And I remember at one point, I think when I was in high school, I wrote something similar, just kind of a snarky column one day about a variety of topics, you know, that were hot in the news at that time. And that was kind of the first time I had my dad read it, and he didn't even believe I wrote it. So that was the first time, I think, where it was actually starting to get good
because,
you know, he had noticed a difference in the writing, like, hey, you might actually be onto something here. So.
Well, you know, that is a great example of how a family can support a kid's interest. You might think it's, oh, this is cute, but look at it, take it seriously, especially if a kid is putting that type of time and effort into it. Really take the time to appreciate that this is something that they might eventually end up doing. And like you said, in the beginning, it wasn't very good, but look how great you are at it now, you know?
So they say.
But, well, you've got the awards to prove it, Eddie. But
it sounds like your parents did a lot of things right.
Yes.
Yeah, I definitely was blessed to, you know, they encouraged me from the get-go to do well in school. That was always stressed as important. Yeah, I remember being sort of fanatical about spelling tests when I was in, you know, even in first grade. Like, I could not miss a word on a spelling
test.
Oh,
I love that.
And then I think I went several years, you know, with 100%. And
wow.
I was tracking it in my mind, like, when's the last time I missed a word on a spelling test?
Oh, my goodness.
So it's funny now that I'm an editor.
Yes, yes.
That's awesome.
You're the guy who knows the right way to spell everything. Well, I used to be like that with spelling tests, too, where I was the flashcard kid. I'd go home. My mom had a stash of 3x5 cards, and I'd make my own flashcards. And because I did not want to be the one to miss it.
Well, you know? No.
And it's interesting when you click with that thing that you challenge yourself. You take it to the next level.
My parents were grammar Nazis.
Oh boy!
So I can relate.
Yeah, that's neat. And I remember my mom doing the same thing with the flashcards and. Uh-huh. The morning before the test, she would sit there and quiz me for 20 minutes. And, you know, I was still kind of fresh in my mind by the time I got to school and took the test. So I'm sure that was a big part.
And you told me that you're an only child, that you were the benefactor of all the love from all the different directions, from your parents, from your grandparents, your aunts and uncles. Did you have cousins that were also in the area that you had relationships with?
Yeah, I only had two cousins, not a huge family, but even our aunts and uncles and extended family, you know, grandparents, they all felt like a really close-knit group.
Nice. Wonderful.
And they all lived in the area, so that was great. And one of my cousins is quite a bit older than me, so maybe I shouldn't say that. She might be listening, but... So as far as cousins go, you know, not really like playmate cousins. And now it's funny because as an only child, I married into a family of 5 siblings. And now there's 6 kids 3 years old and under.
Oh, so wow.
Yeah. Christmas time's a zoo.
Well, and Madison is getting to have that experience of being surrounded by a bunch of people that she loves, too.
Right, right.
Well, tell me about the fighting editors.
Well, it's actually fightin' editors.
Oh, fightin'.
No G on the end.
Thank you for correcting me there, spelling expert.
No, we just think
that. We expect nothing less.
Right, right.
The fightin' was part of the humor in the name for us. But, but when I was at the Collegian, we had, you know, a tight-knit group of friends there, too. We call it kind of the Collegian crew of friends we had. It was almost like a fraternity / sorority for us. You know, we're still lifelong friends with so many people from there. And
great.
We would spend time together on weekends or go on trips together, that type of thing. But we also were big in intramural sports at Fresno State. So Fightin' Editors was our team name. And we played co-ed softball. And then we were really competitive with our men's basketball and flag football league. So we did that for years and kind of carried on the tradition. And we'd go play the other teams, you know, whether it be ROTC or one of the fraternities on campus. And I think they thought we would be a pushover because our name was Fightin' Editors. I mean, I can't Can't blame him for that.
Was your mascot a pin?
It should have been if we would have made t-shirts. That's but but yeah, we ended up, you know, being a really good team for every year we played. And
you said that Carrie Edmondson, who's the campus photographer, was also part of that team.
Yeah, he was one of our star players. He, you know, you look at him and he's kind of unassuming, but believe it or not, he used to be able to dunk a basketball.
Oh, so. And he's real competitive too.
Definitely.
That's funny. So they thought, oh, here come the geeks from the Collegian.
Exactly.
This is going to be a slam dunk for us. And
exactly.
Wrong.
We snuck up on people. It's kind of, I guess it's kind of like Fresno State when they're out there playing football or something. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the big name schools, so to speak, will come in maybe not expecting the fight they're going to get, and then Fresno State comes out and shocks the world.
What did you say about it's best when
the best gift is to be
you?
Underestimated.
Love
That's
that.
It. So then you met your wife, Brenna, and she's a speech pathologist. She went to Fresno State for her master's, but before that, she went to San Diego State where she played water polo. Is that something that she did in high school too?
Yeah, she was born and raised in Merced, so also a Valley native, and mm-hmm. she grew up with all her siblings. The whole family were like these water polo stars in Merced, and they're still known.
They had their own team with six.
Yeah, everyone still talks, you know, the Wiley family are these star water polo players in Merced. But yeah, my wife, Brenna, she played for San Diego State, so we kind of have a household rivalry now. But she did her grad school here at Fresno State, and that's where we met when I was a senior and she was starting grad school. So we, you know, kind of hit it off from there. And now she's almost as big a Fresno State fan as she is a San Diego State fan.
Well, let's see if I can say this right. Bulldog born, Bulldog bred, Bulldog wed.
There you go.
That's good. I think you're on to something. We'll have to add that because we have a lot of alums.
I was going to say the Alumni Association is going to be calling you like right after this is over.
And you were married in 2007, and then you have your little daughter, Madison. Tell us what it was like becoming a father.
Pretty much the greatest blessing imaginable for me. And I didn't really know what to expect, you know, when I found out I was going to have a daughter, a little girl. I, you know, and I hadn't been around a lot of babies growing up. So, so it was all a new experience for me. It still is a new experience, but every day I treasure with her and with my wife and just, you know, seeing how much her brain's developing and absorbing every day.
They really
catch
you off
amazing.
Guard sometimes with the things they come up with, right?
Definitely.
Her and Jess are the same age, and he'll come up with a phrase, and I can't believe it.
What did you say?
But it's so cute to see things fresh through their eyes.
Definitely. Just yesterday, I got up in the morning and went to take a shower, and she was still asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out of the shower, I walked in the kitchen and she was literally standing on our kitchen counter.
Oh my goodness.
And she said, "Daddy, I ate a vitamin." So she had opened her own bottle of vitamins, promised me she only had one of them.
Oh my goodness.
And I was still trying to figure out how she got on the counter.
Well, I think you have a future athlete there. Some type of jumping, maybe a basketball, women's basketball
maybe,
player.
We'll see. But she'll probably follow in the water polo footsteps.
Oh,
of,
that's right.
Of
she
mom,
will but. Have that influence on her. So after graduating from Fresno State, you worked in newspapers, it says briefly, but then you got into public relations and marketing for community medical centers. Tell me what did you learn there that was different?
You know, I went to school, majored in print journalism was my emphasis, but I kind of all along had public relations in the back of my mind. And, you know, I can remember people telling me, like, you should just work for Fresno State. You promote them anyway in your free time. Like, that's your that's your hobby. So, you know, at some point I started thinking, you know, maybe they're right. I'd rather be promoting Fresno State and spreading the good news than, you know, working the nights and weekends at the newspaper and that type of thing. Newspaper writing was a lot of fun, but you know, the hours aren't the best, and especially if you want to climb the ladder to the higher positions. So as soon as I got married, I kind of recognized that and thought, you know, I want to look at this public relations thing. I got a great opportunity at community medical centers. They were looking for someone to start a news website for their hospital organization.
Oh, okay.
And they wanted to model it after FresnoStateNews.com.
So you still couldn't get away from Fresno State?
Right. So
it kept calling you.
Yeah, they were literally looking for someone with a print journalism background looking to make the switch, and the timing was perfect for me. So I jumped into that job, and I had to learn a lot you know, at first about working within a corporation and all the different people that you have to, you know, run things by and get input from when you're writing something. But right away, I recognized that I loved strategy. I loved thinking about how our audience is going to receive a message and mm-hmm. what emotion you're trying to spark or what your call to action you're trying to get with that particular audience. And that's something I learned at Community, that right away I was like, this is it. This is the path I'm supposed to be on.
Great. So it was taking it to another level than what you had expected.
Right, right. A lot of thought that goes into it besides just reporting the facts. There's a lot more to it.
All the perception of your audience. Then you went to Pelco and you said that working for a for-profit organization taught you another set of skills. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a new set of skills too, because, you know, Pelco by Schneider Electric, they're selling products and services and things like that, where I had come from this hospital nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, it's really more marketing heavy language and that type of thing. So it was a great opportunity to learn more about, you know, here's this other way of writing that necessarily the AP style that I was used to. But it opened up a new set of opportunity to learn and kind of expand on my skills. So I appreciated that. But the whole time, you know, when I was at Community, when I was at Pelco, I kind of knew in the back of my mind, I would love to get back to Fresno State one day,
back
where,
mm-hmm.
you know, I still had that thought ringing in my head, people telling me your hobby's promoting Fresno State.
Uh-huh.
You need to work for Fresno State. A lot of people just read my Facebook posts, I think, and assumed I already worked for Fresno
State.
I thought
you did.
So that was, I was blessed to get the opportunity about a year ago to come on board here.
May of 2013 was when you were back here at the University Communications. Tell me about how you felt when you got that phone call that said you were the guy.
It was an exhilarating moment. I mean, for those who aren't familiar, you know, the process of getting a job at Fresno State it's pretty intricate. There's a mm-hmm. search committee of multiple people asking you questions. Then they recommend the finalists to the hiring manager or managers. Then you go through another set of interviews. So, you know, it's a process and it takes a while to find those best candidates for a job. So mm-hmm. to hear that you were actually chosen for that, and knowing I was coming back to my alma mater. And,
yes.
You know, it was right around the time I started was right around what would have been my dad's birthday. So I was thinking about him at the same time, like how happy he would be to know what I'm doing now.
That's great. So you're the senior editor writer overseeing the Fresno State Magazine. And the Fresno State Magazine is published twice each year and it's mailed to university alumni and friends. So in each issue of the magazine, your goal is to feature students, faculty, staff, alumni, athletics, basically everything about Fresno State. When Joe and I first arrived, you spent a whole day with us doing an interview. You went to Hanford with us. You ate ice cream with us at Superior Dairy. You were such a trooper. You were out walking a farm even. I remember how hot that day was. And you received an award, actually, for that article. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I would say we received an award. We couldn't have done it without the access that you both were so generous in giving us. But I mean, it was pretty much from a journalist's perspective, the ideal situation for a story to get that level of access behind the scenes. You know, we have this new university president for the first time in over 20 years, and he's the first Valley born president, being from Hanford. So going to his hometown with him during his first week on campus.
Yes.
It was just, you know, like a huge opportunity, and both the photographer Carrie Edmondson and I, we knew we had to do something special with it. It couldn't just be another run-of-the-mill story, so mm-hmm. we kind of wanted to show that personal human interest side of President Castro, and you know, starting the day eating breakfast with his mom in Hanford, the house he grew up in, and
you guys got to see all the portraits on the walls.
Exactly retracing the roots to the fast food restaurant where you and him met. And
you know, you've been together for a long time, Julie, when you go back to the place you met and they've demolished it and rebuilt it. We walked into it and said, this is not the same place we worked at and met. Even though it said Burger King, it's a totally different one. So we've been together a while. But you were such a trooper that day. And then when we went to Superior's, we ordered a bunch of ice cream and we had to go because Joe had another meeting to go to. And then we were going to meet back later in the afternoon. So Eddie and Carrie helped finish off some of the ice cream. I mean, they really stepped up.
Those
when
are
they
troopers.
Needed.
We stepped up and did our best.
Yes.
We knew our help was needed and had to come through.
So the award that you received was from the Council for Advancement and Support of Education. Tell us about what a big deal that award is because of how competitive it is.
Yeah, it's a big deal for our university communications department and just for the magazine in general. The CASE is an organization that a lot of colleges and universities are involved with. There's a lot of different university publications submitting their work to it. So to hear that it won for our Western District and to hear that, you know, it was among the best articles out of those publications kind of, you know, lends merit to what we're doing with Fresno State Magazine.
Yes.
And the work we're doing there.
Well, I'm looking forward to more awards because the most recent article you wrote, How Athletics Helps the University Thrive, is getting a lot of buzz on campus. And I've heard from many people who have read it what a fantastic article it is. And it looks like it was a marriage between two of the things you love, athletics and the university.
Definitely. It's always been a topic in the back of my mind, you know, even thinking about if I go to grad school one day, that's something I'd like to research and study is that relationship between what major college athletics does for a university and just seeing the links there are to generating donations for the university on the academic and athletic side to, you know, improving application rates. There's even data showing that SAT scores from your applicants could be higher when you have successful athletics programs like we have in the last couple of years. So the whole topic is just intriguing to me and we could go on and on. And sorry for the readers out there that the story was like six pages, but.
Oh, but it was six great pages.
Yeah. I mean, it's a topic that there's a lot of information and angles you can look at.
Well, thank you so much, Eddie, for taking the time to share your personal story with us. We really appreciate having people like you who love Fresno State, who are great alums and who are so connected to the campus. And thank you for sharing your passion of writing and for using it as a way to help share Fresno State with the community.
Thank you, Mary and Julie, for having me. I loved being here. And, you know, I just want to say that on behalf of the Fresno State Magazine staff, we love telling the stories around campus and feel free to get in touch with us and share neat story ideas you might have.
Great.
We love recognizing donors and people who are making an impact with the community.
Yes.
So we hope that it's well received by our audience.
Wonderful.
Well, we'll post your contact information on the KFSR Facebook page so that everybody knows how to find you.
Excellent.
So nice to meet you.
You too.
Well, thanks again to our very special guest, senior editor and writer for the Office of University Communications, Eddie Hughes. That's a long title, Eddie.
It is. Sorry about that.
And of course, my co-host, Fresno State's First Lady, Mrs. Mary Castro. Thanks for joining us this morning. And please join us again next Sunday morning at 10 for another First Ladies Focus on KFSR. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents First Ladies Focus every Sunday morning at 10. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.